All right. Well, great to see you all here again this Tuesday evening, the 3rd of April, 2018, for another installment in the study of the tabernacle, the sanctuary, and the temple. Tonight, we're going to get into the positioning of the tribes of Israel in the camp and associating or seeing that our Lord, as far as what I'm going to say tonight in this study is not set in stone. It is, let's call it my informed commentary. It's what I believe things to be, but, you know, I'm certainly not infallible, and anybody studying the subject could have a different outcome. But it's interesting, though, as we go. And we know that, as I stated before, that the reason I'm doing this study and going back into the tabernacle, sanctuary, and the temple is to, in fact, give us a more wondrous and a more serious and loving idea to what we've been called to in the Son of God at the right hand of the Father, I believe, in the Holy of Holies, in the super heavenlies. This is the basis, again, I'll just state it, for why I am doing this. And plus it also has to do with the Almighty dwelling with mankind and with His creation. So we open up with prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for our lives, our very lives, in studying what mankind is made up, cellular structure and all. It's a wondrous thing that we can even exist, we can speak, we can see. We live in a world that's phenomenal, even though it's fallen. That sustains us through what You provided for us. And what's more, You provided Your tremendous, complete Word of God. I don't believe any of us are really totally cognizant of everything that You've done to provide us with this tremendous gift in 2018. We thank You for that. We thank You for Your Son. The more we study about Him, the more we know how great and fabulous His work is. We thank You so much for His blood and so much for choosing us out as adopted sons. Tremendous, tremendous realities and blessings. We thank You for that. We pray for all of our infirmities, all of us, every one of us that are chosen to His body. We live in bodies of infirmity, bodies of sin, bodies that are destined for the dust. But we know that You've overcome death through the blood of Your Son. We know that You've overcome it. And much more, our blessings and our true life are certainly to come. For our true life is hidden with Christ in God. And we thank You for that. And for everything that is going on with us that we need help with, we pray that we can boldly come to Your throne of grace and ask You for help in time of need. For we know that Your Son came here in the flesh, and He suffered all the things that we did, all the temptations, but without sin. And that's the "but without sin" is what is really extremely important about Him. So we thank You for all these things. We pray for Your blessing upon the study tonight, that it would just increase our joy, and increase our knowledge of You, for we're supposed to be ever learning of Your knowledge, the knowledge of You, and the knowledge of Your will. And these things we ask in the name of our Lord and Savior and our head. Amen. Okay, now I guess I can ask you the question. Did I know Buddy Tony there, Barber Man, is a really good guy. He's been helping me out, sending out these charts. Did everybody get another chart? Everybody should have three charts, three handout charts. No. Okay, because it's important tonight to have the next chart that I believe I had Tony send out in the last couple of days. And it has to do with the encampment of Israel. Does anybody have this chart? Yes. Okay, that's the one where we have the 12 tribes of Israel, including the tribe of Levi in the center, and the directions in which they're encamped. Got it. Yeah, because it's very important. What a square, correct. What we're going to do tonight is we're going to see how exacting, remember we studied the last time about the 12 sons of Jacob and their order in the scriptures as far as their birth. And that's one of the charts. We went over that last time where we were talking about the 12 sons of Israel being born of four women. That's a chart that you should have before you, okay? And we noticed that via Leah were born Reuben, Simon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun. And then by Leah's servant, handmaid Zippah, were born Gad and Asher. And then by Bilhah, Rachel's servant, were born Dan and Naphtali. And then by Rachel herself were born Joseph and Benjamin. And then we noticed that last in our last study that let's say Leah's sons, six sons, were not born in order of how they were born, that is as far as time, but they're ordered well, as far as her bearing them. And so, in fact, Reuben is the first son, Simeon is number two, Levi is number three, Judah is number four, but Issachar was number nine, and Zebulun was number ten. And I hope that you can all see that, right? And so we, through informed idea, I stated that these two onyx stones on the shoulders of the high priest of Israel, there were six sons on one onyx stone and six on the other, and we decided, or we did, that Leah's six sons were on one stone, even though they're not in numerical order, and then which would probably be the stone on his right shoulder, because the firstborn son is the son of the right hand, and this can be applied to Christ also, interesting and gloriously enough. He is the first begotten of the Father spiritually, and he sits at the right hand of the Father. And then on the left onyx stone of the high priest were the other six sons of Jacob, running from Gad all the way through Benjamin. Well, now we're going to move to the encampment and to their order. And lo and behold, except for one glitch, we find the same exact order, except for the beginning of the stated directions when we read Numbers 2, which we're going to read. And so when we read Numbers 2, we find that the east direction is the first one that is talked about. And you'll see on your chart, this new chart that I gave you, that if you turn to page 181 in your companion Bible, you'll see the encampment laid out. But you'll see that, like let's say if you look at the encampment and you look in the east direction. All right? It's very important that you have this chart. You'll notice mine's a little bit different than what's in the Companion Bible. And the reason that mine is set forth the way it is because I believe it's easier to understand. And you'll notice that in the upper right-hand quarter, in the eastward direction, is the tribe of Judah, which is actually, when we read Numbers 2, is actually the first, which is actually the first tribe that is spoken of. That should be the first tribe spoken of because he was the firstborn son. Okay, that's something that should come to your mind. But I put Judah up in the upper right-hand corner on the eastward direction, and then Issachar and Zebulun, if you can see that. Can somebody just give me an acknowledgement, any one or so of you, that you see that? Any of you? Yes. Okay, you can see that. It's actually lower right. Well, yeah, but if you turn your chart, if you turn your chart and you're looking to the east, putting the east on the top, and there's a lot of subtle beauty to what is going on in the scriptures here. You notice that I'm just going to say this ahead of time. You notice Levi is in the center, right? He is the chosen priestly line of the tribes. And you'll notice that when he faces east, that Judah is first. Do you notice that? When Levi walks out of the temple, out of the tabernacle in the wilderness, when he walks out of the first veil and into the court, he's facing east because the entrance to the tabernacle in the wilderness is east, on the east side. The entrance to the tabernacle itself into the holy places is on the east side. And Christ comes from the bloodline of Judah. We stated that last time. He doesn't come from Reuben. He doesn't come from the line of Joseph, which is really some beautiful truth. It is. It just is. And so, east is very important, all right? And I'll just mention that really quickly. The reason why I don't have the same order as in the Companion Bible is I'm laying these out in order as they're going to be mentioned in Numbers that we're going to read. And Hebrew is written. Hebrew is read from right to left. From right to left. And so that very fact is seen in how the tribes of Israel were laid out in order around the Levitical priesthood in the encampment, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun. So it's not supposed to be read Zebulun, Issachar, Judah from left to right. It's supposed to be written seen from right to left in the Hebrew. And so that fact is borne out by the Almighty in the placement of these tribes of Israel. All right? So that's why I put them down as I did. And then of course, I read about the last time about the cornerstones. There's four tribes of Israel that are cornerstones, which in fact allude to the fact of the work of the sun being seen in the zodiac. And those four cornerstone tribes are Judah, Dan, Ephraim, and Reuben. And that's probably why in your Companion Bible, they're in the middle, if you can see that, of each direction, because the writers of the Companion Bible decided to highlight them in the middle. But I think that, you know, this is my own personal thing, I think that that's a little bit misleading as to the actual order of the tribes. Order being read from right to left. Just remember that, okay? East is a very important direction to Almighty God. Golgotha, or Calvary, was northeast of Jerusalem. That's where our Lord was crucified. The Mount of Olives, where he prayed, and where the Garden of Gethsemane is on the east side of Jerusalem. And so you just put all of these east factors together. Then, for just a little bit of highlight knowledge, let's turn to Matthew 24. Okay, I'm just stepping back a bit. But this is just going to reinforce the, I believe, the truth of the east. All right? The east direction, and this has to do with Judah, right? Remember? Why was Judah chosen if he was, in fact, the fourth son born of Jacob? All right? Why was the bloodline, why did the bloodline come through Judah? A more intricate and important question than we might think at first, okay? When we consider the firstborn and we consider the gifts and rights of the firstborn, all right? We talked about that last time. And so this is kind of a little bit of a mystery, I would think. But let's look at Matthew 24, 15 through 27. And it speaks and says, the scripture states, "When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso reads this, let him understand. Then let them which are in Judea flee into the mountains." This is the tribulation. "Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house, neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there shall no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, inasmuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive even the very elect." And Barney was talking, I believe, Barney was talking about overcomers. These people will have to be some pretty faithful overcomers. "Behold, I have told you before, wherefore if they shall say unto you, Behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as lightning comes out of the east, and shines even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." And so the reason I read that is to reinforce the direction of the east. As lightning comes out of the east to the west, so shall the coming, the second advent, I believe it states myself, of the second advent of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, let's turn to Numbers 2 now. Okay, so now we're going to go back to this encampment. And what I am trying to put forth here today, tonight, is that except for a little bit of one glitch, the order of this encampment is in the same order of the sons listed on the onyx stones on the shoulders of the high priest of Israel who ministered in the tabernacle. And so this might be a little, I hesitate to say boring, but I don't like to use that word about Scripture at all, but whatsoever. So let's just say, let's read some Scriptures. Numbers 2 we're going to read tonight. And it states, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, Every man of the children of Israel shall pitch by his own standard with his ensign of his of their father's house, far off about the tabernacle of the congregation shall they pitch." And if you read the companion Bible note, it states that an ensign is a sign of one of the 12 constellations. And so they had a flag. They had an ensign that was very possibly, had very possibly on it one of the 12 constellations in the heavens. And so if that's a fact, if that in fact is true, what they're stating is this, is we stand for the living God and His Christ. And they said it right in their own flags. Whether or not all of them were cognizant of this fact is beyond the point. The point is that God called them to be a priestly nation and to put forth His truth upon earth. And so whatever He designated unto him was His work, whether they understood it or not. Some, I'm sure, did. And so it's a possibility that, you know, the heavens speak forth the word, the work of Christ. There's no doubt about that. That's what they're about. Because at one time the Scriptures were in fact read from the heavens. And so here we have the nation of Israel that speak forth that in their own order and under their own ensigns, under their own flags. You know, and I'm sure that when they congregated together and the Lord looked down on them, I think He was very pleased what He saw. I think. Because they were standing for the work of His only begotten Son to come. And I stated this once too, that every square millimeter of the tabernacle in the wilderness shouts forth the name of the Lord and Savior Christ Jesus and His work. That's what it's all about. And Numbers 2:3 says, "And on the east side, toward the rising of the sun." Now, that's interesting. So we're getting into this now. Why? Okay, we have the east side. Why is it that the Lord didn't begin with the north side? Okay, these are just questions that I have, right? And so when you take your chart of the women that bore these sons, look at it, look at that chart, you'll see that in the encampment, it doesn't start out with Reuben. It starts out with the fourth son, Judah. You know, so, you know, right here, it's right in Numbers 2:3. And on the east side, and it starts out with Judah. Why would that be? I mean, that is a real valid question. Why is it that the firstborn son isn't named first? Okay, so that, you know, that's something that is going to run throughout this study. And, you know, it has to do with the coming Christ, you know. On the east side, towards the rising of the sun, remember the direction that the Lord's going to come from. Remember the direction from Jerusalem that He was crucified in. Remember the direction where the people come in to worship in the tabernacle. They of the standard of the camp of Judah pitch throughout their armies, and Nashon and Abinadab shall be the captain of the children of Judah. And his hosts and those were numbered were 314,600. Okay, so that's 70 I get this right, I added these up, 74,600 people. And those that do pitch next to him shall be the tribe of Issachar. So we notice that if we go back to the sons born by Leah, and we compare that with the start of this encampment, we notice that it starts out with son number 4, Judah, and then it's going to, reading right to left, it's going to go to Issachar and Zebulun. Well, that's going from son number 4 to son number 9 to son number 10. And that's, you know, this is something created by the Almighty. This wasn't put together by Israel or man. It was put together according to the Almighty's order. And so we have sons number in as far as the time they were born. We have the 4th son, the 9th son, and the 10th son listed as 1, 2, and 3 in the order in the camp. And let's go on. That's just, you know, we're just doing this. Okay, and verse 6, and his host, and those that were numbered there, it was 54,400. Okay, 54,400. And the tribe of Zebulun, son number 10, actually, according to your other chart. And of Eliab, the son of Helon, shall be the captain of the children of Zebulun, and his host. And those were numbered thereof were 57,400. And all that were numbered in the camp of Judah were 100,000 and 80,000 and 6,400 throughout their armies. These shall first set forth. And that's 186,400 people. And they're set forth in the east. So they were the first to be set forth, Judah being number 1 in the eastward direction. All right, just you have to, in my opinion, you have to take all these facts down and think about them when you're going through this. Okay, let's continue, all right? On the south side, well, why would the south be mentioned next? On the south side. Why didn't he mention the north side next? Why didn't he mention the west side next? My answer to this is that Reuben is the start of the south side. And Reuben was the firstborn. And Reuben, being the firstborn, is the son of the right hand. Like Christ, but Reuben fell from his birthright. The Lord didn't. And so we turn this around again, where Levi was. Look at Levi, the Levitical priesthood, in the middle. All right, in the middle of this chart. And then, like I said, you turn your chart so that the east is on top. Do that. And on the upper right hand, that's number 1, reading from right to left, Judah's number 1. But then the scriptures mention the right hand of the high priest, which is the south direction. Okay, so if you're the high priest standing in the middle, you're looking out of the entrance to the tabernacle in type, and it's the east direction. And the chosen nation, the chosen tribe is Judah. That's where the Lord's coming from. That's where the bloodline is coming from. But according to law, I suppose, according to the law of the firstborn, the son of the right hand is Reuben. And so if you're a Levitical high priest standing in the center, off to your right hand is the firstborn son, which is south, which is Reuben. Did you get that? Does that make any sense? See, it has to do, these things are all pieced together. These things all form a unity of knowledge. And so on the south, if you turn your chart so that the south is on top. And it states in verse 10, on the south side shall be the standard of the camp of Reuben. But Reuben fell from his blessings. We'll read about that later. Reuben fell from his blessings because, in short, the blessings of the firstborn are a double portion and the right to the bloodline. And probably more. But I'll just state this right now, that the bloodline right went to Judah. And the double portion went to Joseph. Through Reuben's fall. This is something that we're going to look into later. But I think that a lot of you probably know this already. Reuben fell from his firstborn status. And this is actually seen in this encampment. And so let's read on. In verse 10, on the south side shall be the standard of the camp of Reuben according to their armies. And the captain of the children of Reuben shall be Elizur the son of Shedeur, and his host, and those that were numbered thereof were 46,500. And those which pitched by him shall be the tribe of Simeon. Okay, so we go back to the birth of the sons, back to the chart of the women, and you'll see that now the first, second, the first and second sons are going to be named, except Gad is going to be named in here. All right, so let's look at that. Why would that be? Verse 12, and those which pitch by him shall be the tribe of Simeon, and the captain of the children of Simeon shall be Shelumiel, the son of Zerushashadai, and his host, and those that were numbered were 59,300. Then the tribe of Gad, and the captain of the sons of Gad shall be Eliasaph, the son of Ruel, and his host, and those that were numbered there of them, were 45,650. And all that were numbered in the camp of Reuben were 100,000, and 51,000, and 450 throughout their armies, and they shall set forth in the second rank. And so, Judah's camp, along with Issachar and Zebulun, had 186,400 folks. And, now Reuben's camp, along with Simeon and Gad, have 151,450 folks. All right, so let's go back to how these tribes were born. Back to the page of the four women. We notice that under Leah, Reuben, Simeon, and Levi were in order, not Gad. Well, Levi was moved to the interior of the camp. And so Levi, being the priestly line, would not have a place in the outer side of the camp. He would be where he is set forth as priest, as the priestly line, in the inner camp. Then if you go back to the chart of the women, you'll notice that Gad, being the firstborn son of Zipah, which was Leah's servant, would make sense that Gad would take the place of Levi. So Gad is put in the place of Levi there, and Levi is moved to the inner part of the camp. Let's move on. And it says in verse 17, then the tabernacle of the congregation shall set forward the camp of the Levites in the midst of the camp, as they encamp, so shall they set forth every man in his place by their standards. And on the west side, so now we're going to move to the west side. okay, and turn to the west side. The west side at the top, and you'll find, as we read, it says, and on the west side shall be the standard of the camp of Ephraim. And see, this is where a little bit of a glitch comes in, but you know, we'll just go on from here. According to their armies, and the captain of the sons of Ephraim shall be Elishama, the son of the Nehad, and his host, and those that were numbered were 40,500, and by him shall be the tribe of Manasseh. All right, so when we look at Rachel's son Joseph, we find that in Scripture he was given the double portion. He was given the double portion that Reuben fell from, and so he had two sons. And these two sons were Ephraim and Manasseh. And that's how Joseph is represented here. And so we have Ephraim and Manasseh. And then in verse 22, and the tribe of Benjamin shall be the captain of the sons of Benjamin shall be Abidan, the son of Gideon, Gideonai, and his host, and those shall be the number of them were 35,400, and all that were numbered in the camp of Ephraim were 100,000 and 8,100 throughout their armies, and they shall go forth in the third rank. Okay, so in fact, even though the women, the sons born under Rachel were numbers 11 and 12, as in Joseph and Benjamin, the encampment rank of them, and it's actually not a glitch, the encampment number of them was the third rank. And so, for some reason, the Lord decided to bypass Asher and Dan and Naphtali and put the sons, actual sons of Rachel, in the third position in the camp. Nevertheless, though, the order of sons, being Joseph's two sons and Benjamin, are in the correct order. But you know, that's something to figure out. And then it goes on to say, and the camp of Dan shall be on the north side, and the captain of the children of Dan shall be Ahizar, the son of Amishadai, and his host, and those that were numbered of them were 62,700. And those that encamp by him shall be the tribe of Asher. And here's one glitch. Asher and Naphtali are reversed in order in the camp. All of the other sons, according to the onyx stones on the high priest of Israel, were in the correct order, except for these two. They're reversed as far as their order. I don't know why, I can say. But let's go on. And those that encamp by him shall be the tribe of Asher, and the captain of the children of Asher shall be Pagiel, the son of Ochran, and his host, and those that were numbered of them were 40,500. And then the tribe of Naphtali. And see, on your chart, well, your chart in the Companion Bible really doesn't help you out. But if you turn to the chart that I made up, I put Dan in the upper right-hand corner in the north direction. And then in quarter, according to the encampment order, Asher should have been after Dan, but he's not, and I don't know why. Asher and Naphtali are reversed, and I don't know why, but I'm sure there's an answer to that. And it goes on to say in verse 29, "And the tribe of Naphtali and the captain of the children of Naphtali shall be Ira, the son of Enan, and his hosts, and those that were numbered of them were 53,400. All they that were numbered in the camp of Dan were 100,000, and 57,600. They shall go to hindermost with their standards. These are those that were numbered of the children of Israel by the house of their fathers. All those that were numbered of the camp throughout their host were 600,000, 3,550. 603,550 people in this camp, not counting the Levites. And so, the point I wanted to try to make is that as far as the order that were on the onyx stones, as we stated in our study last time, of the high priest's shoulders, it seems to be borne out, except with a couple of minor problems, if you will, with the encampment order, as far as the nation of Israel was encamped. So, what I'm saying is that you put these two charts together, and you'll find a godly order in them. And then you'll find that there are some questions to be answered as far as Judah, as far as Reuben is concerned, and as far as Joseph is concerned, as far as the blessing of the firstborn and the bloodline of the Son of God. But I think that, and then what we're going to do is we're going to go on from here and, you know, theoretically, we should find the exact same order or similar order in the stones of the breastplate of the high priest. And I believe that's what we're going to find. Okay, so I think that's going to do it for tonight. I just wanted to put forth the order of the birth of the sons of Jacob with the high priest's onyx stones on his shoulders, bring in some truth to that, and then eventually we're going to move on to these stones on the breastplate of the high priest, because other than Jewish tradition, from what I've studied, nobody has a definite idea of how these stones were ordered on the breastplate of the high priest of Israel. Nobody knows exactly. There's traditions of there are traditions handed down by the high priests of Israel, but as far as I studied, even guys got into this study, and it got so confusing to them that they quit. Scholars have. I just want to mention that to you. I found that in studying about that. But in the studying that I've done, this is the best, let's call it informed, somewhat factual matter, or maybe true fact, that I've found. And so we're going to move on next time to the breastplate and to these stones. And I just wanted to say this not as an out, but this is a very, it's a very intricate study. It's a very, there's a lot of facts, a lot of ideas that have come about through this. But I think that they're, you know, as far as like Judah is concerned and as far as Reuben is concerned, and the blessing of the firstborn, and these 12 tribes, and the Levites being the interior, and, you know, the birth order of these sons and the women, I think that there is some beautiful continuity to it, and I hope that, I certainly see it, and I hope that you do, and I hope that it's a blessing to you. If you have at all anything to help me out, add, you know, if you want to say, hey, that isn't true, this is what's true, according to the scriptures, go right ahead. I'd be happy to hear it. Thank you all for being on tonight.